content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our July 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program as well. This month, we will look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of June at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin the program this month with a book that's been around for a few years. It's entitled Guilty, and it's by Laura Elliott. And this is a review that was done back in 2019 by Barbara Lipkin Gershenbaum. Guilty by Laura Elliott is a highly suspenseful novel featuring a cast of carefully limbed characters and a tightly woven plot. 13-year-old Constance Lawson is reported missing by her parents. Not a sign of her appears despite meticulous searching by the police and townspeople. But her uncle Carl Lawson is targeted by journalist Amanda Bowe, who points her pen toward him and makes sure that everyone believes he is the prime suspect. She destroys him and he winds up in jail. He always has maintained his innocence, yet no one believes him. He remains in prison until a townsman leaves a suicide note to where the buried Constance body is located. Well, as the narrative unfolds, readers learn that Carl has a record. He was arrested for the severe beating and rape of his then-girlfriend, Selena. Although he claimed he was not guilty of that crime, too, he was sent to prison. He never told anyone about this incident, and both his wife, Nicole, and brother, Justin, are outraged when they hear the news. "It wasn't the police who exonerated me. It was Selena," he tells them. Justin loses his temper and punches Carl in the face. Justin's wife, Jenna, pulls them apart and sinks to her knees beside Carl, begging him to help the parents find their daughter. At the present time, Carl is sent to prison until that suicide note exonerates him. But when he is let out of jail, his life is ruined. His family is completely broken apart. He loses his job as an editor, and he is still under suspicion for the disappearance of his niece. Carl ends up losing everything he ever had and makes a life on the street. He percolates with all of the wrongs done to him and pulls off a horrendous crime against his nemesis, Amanda Bowe. Carl kidnaps Amanda's 4-year-old son, Marcus, and keeps him in a state of fantasy in the place he created out of his imaginary Plinks children's characters that he invented. But he is cheated by Lar Richardson, Amanda's husband and mogul of a huge media conglomerate. Lar buys the rights to the Plinks and all of the manufacturing interests, which makes millions of dollars for him and nothing for Carl, who renames himself Ben Carroll. The police, the people involved in the children's disappearances, and the families float in a flotilla of red herrings meant to tease readers and keep them on their toes. The level of suspense is kept high throughout Guilty, and those who enjoy stories that just can't be put down will love this psychological thriller. Once again, this book was published back in 2019. It's called Guilty, and it's by Laura Elliott. It was reviewed by Barbara Lipkin Gershenbaum in May of 2019. Now let's move on to our next book on this program. Very popular author. We read a lot about him, David Baldacci. This one is called Strangers in Time, and it is a World War II novel. Here's the plot for this one. 14-year-old Charlie Matters is up to no good, but for a very good reason. Without parents, peerage, or merit, he steals what he needs, living day to day until he's old enough to enlist to fight the Germans. After barely surviving the Blitz, Charlie knows there's no telling when a falling bomb might end his life. 15-year-old Molly Wakefield has just returned to a nearly unrecognizable London, one of millions of children to have been evacuated to the countryside. Molly has been away from her home for nearly 5 years. Her return, however, is not the homecoming she'd hoped for, as she's confronted by a devastating reality. Neither of her parents are there. Without guardians and stability, Charlie and Molly find an unexpected ally and protector in Ignatius Oliver, and solace at his bookshop, the Bookkeep. Mourning the recent loss of his wife, Ignatius forms a kinship with both the children, and in each other they rediscover the spirit of family each has lost. But Charlie's escapades in the city have not gone unnoticed, and someone has been following Molly since she returned to London. And Ignatius is harboring his own secrets, which could have terrible consequences for all of them. As bombs continue to bear down on the city, Charlie, Molly, and Ignatius learn that while the perils of war rage on, they're coming together and trusting one another may be the only way for them to survive. Once again, this one is called Strangers in Time. It is a World War II novel by David Baldacci. Now let's move on to another very popular author. This name, of course, we hear multiple times on almost every program. James Patterson, and this one is with J.D. Barker. It is a thriller entitled The Writer. Here's the plot for this one. A guilt-ridden, or rather guilt-stricken cop investigates a best-selling author for murder in the entertaining fifth collaboration between Patterson and Barker. Now, facing an inquiry from Internal Affairs, NYPD Detective Declan Shaw plans to jump in the front of a subway train to prevent an unspecified secret from coming to light. Now, before he can do so, his investigative partner, Jared Cordova, calls him with some disturbing news. Popular true crime writer Denise Morrow arrived at her Manhattan apartment to find her husband David stabbed to death. But when the police arrive, she warded them off with a gun, insisting she'd only allow Shaw inside. Then when Shaw arrives, he finds Morrow soaked in blood and standing near a bloody knife. Now, she has an airtight alibi, however, and holds considerable sway over Shaw because she's working on a book that casts doubt on a case he and Cordova handled several years earlier, which ultimately led to the conviction of a New York City Parks employee for the murder of a 14-year-old girl. Shaw and Morrow's cat-and-mouse game quickly becomes preposterous, but the narrative only gains steam as one gonzo plot twist follows the next. Though goofy, it is loads of fun. And once again, the book is called The Writer, and it is a real thriller by James Patterson and J.D. Barker. Now in this program, let's take a look at a new book by Nora Roberts. This one is called Captive Star. This is the second in the Stars of Mithra trilogy that I'm revisiting as books from my past that I enjoyed, says the writer. Here's the plot for Captive Star. Jack Dakota is a bounty hunter. Now, when he's given the file for an M.J. O'Leary, he thinks it'll be an easy pickup. M.J., an attractive redhead female, is wanted for skipping bail after shooting her supposed lover. Jack stakes out her apartment and spots her easily. He's actually surprised by how little effort she is making to stay hidden, given that there's a warrant out for her and all that. He thinks it'll be an easy takedown. But he is surprised when MJ fights back, and fights back hard. Jack's bigger and stronger than she is, though, and he manages to subdue her. But they're delayed in getting back to his car, and they are interrupted by someone who demands that Jack hand MJ over. This sets off alarm bells in Jack's head. He doesn't know this guy, so he's not entirely sure that he's another bounty hunter trying to steal Jack's bounty. And he remembers that Frank, the bail bondsman that issued him with MJ's papers, had been nervous, very nervous, in fact. He thinks that suddenly MJ's protestations of innocence might actually be true and that there is something else going on here. So he makes a decision and knocks out the intruder, absconding with MJ so he can figure out what the hell is going on. After getting nothing out of Frank, other than Frank telling him to hand the girl over if he wanted to live, Jack decides that they're going to lay low and find out what is going on. People are clearly looking for MJ, and they're not the sort of people that you want to find you. He's even more surprised when he searches her handbag and finds a blue diamond the size of his fist in there. Realizing she has no choice, MJ spills her story. Her friend Bailey shipped her the stone, but she can't get in contact with her at all. She also assumes that Bailey is in trouble, which is why she separated the stones, and that the third one would have gone to Grace, who is out of contact also. MJ and Jack head up to Grace's secluded cabin, hoping that she has gone there and is lying low. All the while, they are in enforced close proximity. A dangerous attraction is simmering between them. Their physical struggles have been little more than foreplay at times, but both of them are incredibly stubborn, preferring to drag out the fight and aggravation. MJ has to learn a harsh lesson to realize that not only can she trust Jack to keep her safe and that he knows what he's talking about, but that she needs to trust him. I always remember the middle book as being my favorite because of Jack and MJ being a redhead myself. I have to admit, a soft spot for feisty redhead heroines. MJ certainly is that when Jack attempts to take her down while he believes she's a bail jumper. She assumes he's a robber or even a rapist and definitely does not go quietly. Even after she realizes that he's a bounty hunter and he does have papers in her name, she is difficult, excessively so at times. But I found that far preferable to tears and damsel in distress routines. I also liked Jack a lot. He was sarcastic and flippant, but it was clear he wasn't going to abandon MJ to possibly being taken by these guys. He knew nothing about the situation, only that her papers for skipping bail had been faked, and he could have walked away, chalking it up to something that he had nothing to do with him. He stuck with her, though, and helped her get to the bottom of what was happening, looking for Bailey and Grace as well. I think when reading these romances, it's important to remember that the actual story itself is never extremely strong. Some are better than others, of course, but overall, it's more about the falling in love and two characters meeting and surrendering to that. Everything else is just filler in the background. The diamonds are an interesting story, but in this installment, nothing new really occurs that we didn't already know from the very first book in this series. And the falling in love is always very rapid, occurring in a very quick time. Like in this book, a matter of a couple of days, which is definitely out of character for both MJ and Jack. But that seems to be the point. The love is so powerful that it does completely override their normal natures and their senses. The sort of book you read when you just want to pass some time and not think very much. Once again, that book is called Captive Star by the very popular author Nora Roberts. And this one is the second one in the Stars of Mithra trilogy. And you may have read that one. If you have, I'm sure that you will be delighted to read this one. Now let's move on to another book by a big-name author, Harlan Coben. This one is called Nobody's Fool, and a little bit of a spoiler alert here that this is a short review by Publishers Weekly. It's a little bit negative as a review. However, Harlan Coben is incredibly popular, and this particular book was the sixth most popular book last month at the Accessible Services Department in the State Library of North Carolina. Here's the plot for it. Samuel "Sammy" Kearse, the troubled protagonist of Edgar Winning Coben's disappointing sequel to Fool Me Once, has spent decades running from his past. His life changed irrevocably during a backpacking trip through southern Spain when he awoke one morning in Costa del Sol, covered in blood next to the lifeless body of his girlfriend, Anna. Terrified, he fled the scene and returned to the United States, too afraid to confront the situation. Fast forward 22 years, Sammy, now an ex-NYPD homicide detective fired for incompetence, has become a private investigator and a new father, struggling with debt while teaching aspiring sleuths at a night school in New York City. When he unexpectedly spots a familiar face in his class, he realizes with a shock that it's Anna. He panics as she flees, igniting a desperate quest for answers that culminates in devastating violence. Coben cleverly interweaves seemingly unconnected side plots involving a famous kidnapping case from 25 years earlier and the release of a convicted murderer, but his characters are flat and his plot twists flatter. This is far from the author's best, according to this review by Publishers Weekly, but nonetheless, it's a very popular book here in North Carolina at the State Library, and once again, it's called Nobody's Fool, and it's by Harlan Coben. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. We have a few more books to cover before the program's over today. Now we're going to take a look at a book by Sandra Brown. This one is called Blood Moon. And in this very sexy thriller, this best-selling author, Sandra Brown, an unruly detective and an ambitious TV show producer, work against the clock to prevent another young woman from disappearing before the next blood moon while trying to resist the attraction between them. Here's the plot for this one. Detective John Bowie is one misstep away from being fired from the Eau Claire Police Department in coastal Louisiana. Now, recently divorced and slightly heavy-handed with his liquor, Bowie does all that he can to cope with the actions taken or not taken during the investigation of Chrissy Mellon, a teenage girl who disappeared more than 3 years prior. But now, Crisis Point, a long-running true crime television series, is soon to air an episode documenting the unsolved Mellon case. Now, Bowie has been instructed by his boss to keep to his criticisms over the mishandling of the investigation to himself. Beth Collins, a senior producer on Crisis Point, knows what classifies as a great story and when there's something more to be told. After working on the show for 7 years, Collins is convinced that Chrissy Mellon's disappearance was not an isolated incident. A string of disappearances of teenage girls in nearby areas have only one thing in common. They took place on the night of a blood moon. In a last-ditch effort to find out the truth, Beth enlists Detective Bowie to help her figure out what happened to Chrissy and find the true culprit before he acts on the next blood moon in 4 days' time. With their jobs and their lives at risk, Bowie and Collins band together to catch the killer while fighting an irresistible spark between them that threatens to upend everything. Once again, that's a book called Blood Moon, and it's by Sandra Brown. Now let's take a look at a book called The Missing Half. It's a novel by Ashley Flowers and Alex Keister. Two women haunted by their sisters' unsolved disappearances band together in this captivating mystery. Here's the plot. Nicole Nick Monroe is in a rut. At 24, she lives alone in a dinky apartment in her hometown of Mishawaka, Indiana. She's just gotten a DWI, and she works the same dead-end job she's been working since high school, a job she only has because her boss is a family friend and feels sorry for her. Everyone has felt sorry for her for the last 7 years, since the day her older sister, Casey, vanished without a trace. On the night Casey went missing, her car was found over 100 miles from home. The driver's door was open, and her purse was untouched in the seat next to it. The only real clue in her disappearance was Jules Connor, another young woman from the same area, who disappeared in the same way 2 weeks earlier. But with so little for the police to go on, both their cases eventually went cold. Nick wants nothing more than to move on from her sister's disappearance and the state it's left her in. But then one day, Jewel's sister, Jenna Connor, walks into her life and offers Nick something she hasn't felt in a long hope. What follows is a gripping tale of two sisters who will do anything to find their missing halves, even if it means destroying everything they've ever known. Once again, this book is called The Missing Half, and it's a novel by Ashley Flowers and Alex Keister. Now let's talk about a very unique book that I think you'll find interesting. It's called Three Bags Full by Leonie Swan. This is an international bestseller. It is a witty, philosophical murder mystery with a charming twist. The crack detectives are sheep determined to discover who killed their beloved shepherd. Does sound a little different, I know. Here's the plot. On a hillside near the cozy Irish village of Glenkill, the members of the flock gather around their shepherd, George, whose body lies pinned to the ground with a spade. George has cared for the sheep, reading them a plethora of books every night. The daily exposure to literature has made them far savvier about the workings of the human mind than your average sheep. Led by Miss Maple, the smartest sheep in Glenkill, and possibly the world, they set out to find George's killer. The A-team of investigators includes Othello, the bad boy Black Ram, Mopple the whale, a merino who eats a lot and remembers everything, and Zora, a pensive black-faced ewe with a weakness for abysses. Joined by other members of the richly talented flock, they engage in night-long discussions about the crime and wild metaphysical speculations, and they embark on reconnaissance missions into the village, where they encounter some likely suspects. There's Ham, the terrifying butcher, Rebecca, a village newcomer with a secret and a scheme, Gabriel, the shady shepherd of a very odd flock, and Father Will, a sinister priest. Along the way, the sheep confront their own all-too-human struggles with guilt, misdeeds, and unrequited love. With sheer wit and spunk, this international bestseller has become a darling to two- and four-legged fans alike. Funny, fresh, and endearing, it introduces a wonderful breed of detectives to American readers. Little double entendre there. Once again, the book is called Three Bags Full, and it's by Leonie Swan. Now, as we get near the end of the program, we have time for one more. It's a short review, and it's a very unique kind of book. It is called Partners, a Rogue Lawyer Short Story by John Grisham. Now, this is an original e-short. This is a standalone prequel to the number one bestseller, Rogue Lawyer, that you may have read or listened to, which tells the story of how Sebastian Rudd finally found someone he could trust to be his driver, bodyguard, law clerk, and partner. Sebastian Rudd, Rogue Lawyer, defends people other lawyers won't go near. It's controversial and dangerous work, which is why Sebastian needs his bodyguard, assistant, sidekick, partner. So if Sebastian is just about the most unpopular lawyer in town, why is partner so loyal to him? How did they meet? And what's the real story of this man of a few words who's as good with a gun as he is with the law? The surprising answers are all in Partners, John Grisham's first exclusively digital short story. Definitely check that one out. Partners, a Rogue Lawyer short story by John Grisham. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books North Carolina or call toll-free 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.